I'm Emily Theed, author of This Vicious Grace, coming in summer 2022 from Wednesday Books.
And I'm Anna, a teacher and a writer in the Queery Trenches.
And you're listening to Basic Pitches, where we...
Two basic pitches.
Break down the basics of writing and being a writer.
We're just going to dive right in, but before we do that, you've had an adventurous week.
I have.
And a very exciting day today.
I have. Yeah, so I was in the Outer Banks, North Carolina with my cousins this week. And for anyone who has read about Revel or read Revel, it's a cousin-centric story. Like, the circus performers are all from one family. The main friend group are all cousins. And I'm very, very close with my cousins. So it was like an awesome week, but I really wanted to bring an advanced reader copy with me. Because I dedicated the book to my cousins. Aww. And I wanted them to see it. I know they won't listen to this. They like listen to the first one. They're like, it's really writer-ish. I'm like, yeah, it's really writer-ish.
Right.
But they came an hour after I left. So they were in New York and I was in North Carolina. So my ARCs were not with me on the trip, but I came home last night, ripped into them, and then shared it with the world this morning, which was really, really fun.
That's so exciting.
Yeah,
your words are printed on paper.
Yeah, it's very surreal. It's very surreal. I think I had like, I don't know, some kind of like, you know, when you experience something big and you almost can't feel it in the motion, like it's like too much emotion.
Yeah, absolutely.
And then your emotions just like empty out.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yes.
So I didn't cry. I just kind of stared at it and I smiled and I felt like a little out of body.
Uh-huh.
And then it wasn't until I went to bed, I brought one to bed, and I always read in bed, that I started flipping through in order, like the first chapter, and I got like the smell of book.
Yeah.
And that was the first time I ever read it with like the scent of a fresh book and the pages. And I was like, oh my God, this is my book.
It's happening.
Yeah.
I can't, that has to be like a marker of like, this is how, it's almost like a roller coaster, right? Like this is the... tick, 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 as you're going up the hill, right? And then you're like, you can kind of just see the path in front of you where it's, you're going to have no control soon.
Such a good metaphor. Yeah. And I keep thinking like, what should I be doing? You know, at this point, like we're like 6.5 months out, et cetera. Is there something I should be doing? Should I be mailing these to people? Should I be posting more? Like it's that we've talked about this, like what's actually within your control.
Right.
And I'm on a roller coaster and I'm not driving it and the track is set for me and I just got to like put my hands up and feel the wind in my face and just go.
That's so exciting. And it's not always that easy, right? Like it's not always that easy at all.
Not at all.
Which is kind of what today's episode is about, which is you, even if you take all of these tools that we've talked about and you're like, all right, cool. I am here. I'm ready to go. I have found my writerly joy. The Word document is open. And I typed the word the in 30 minutes. And the words won't happen. That happens, right? So we're here to talk about what can you do when you can't get a full book.
Right, when you've, sorry, my microphone just
like. Am I saying things wrong?
No, you're right. It just like fell down. It fell down. Sorry. The tripod thing really confuses me.
What if you just do this whole thing with like a microphone?
Okay. Thank you. This is actually the best solution. Hello. Now when I mic drop, I can actually.
Oh my gosh. The audio of that and my ears. I loved it.
Not really. Sorry. Oh, I committed.
I love it so much. Please do it at some point.
Oh, not now. You didn't mean at this very moment. Do it again.
Oh my gosh.
Speaking of mic drops, this is not a really good segue.
No, I love it.
But yeah, you're sitting, you've worked, you found your joy, you're working on finding your joy, you're dedicated to, I'm not comparing myself to anyone, etc. And then you sit down and you write the, and then you check Twitter and you check Instagram and whatever else you check.
Stop
and then
describing my writing sessions.
Then you circle back and think, I'm going to reread what I wrote. The. And so now you've done everything, but the words aren't coming. What do you do? So what's interesting about this topic is you and I haven't discussed this at all.
No, not at all. This is going to be fascinating.
So do you have any go-to things that you do? What's your writing process like with the actual sitting down?
So I have learned that if I am doing that writing process, which I do all the time, which is check Instagram, check Twitter. Oh, I haven't checked the podcast email in a while. Oh, I haven't done this in a while. That is usually my sign of I need to disconnect. I need to totally disconnect, which means even not writing for a little bit. It means that my brain is very busy at that moment and I need to make my brain less busy. So I need to go empty it. And a lot of the times that comes in the form of a walk. So I will go walk, I wish I lived somewhere where there were sidewalks everywhere and I could just walk outside my house, but that's not the case. But I'll go to the park and I'll walk around for a little bit and then I'll come back. And usually on that walk, I don't allow myself to touch my phone unless it's to listen to music or listen to a podcast that I love about writing or to listen to the words I've written. And then I come back and I don't let myself touch anything because I'm usually motivated by that point. So that's my go-to line of defense.
It sounds like you detox.
Yes. A lot of it is detoxing. It is just giving myself space to let those things go that I'm worried about. Because usually if I'm doing that, I'm worried about something. I'm anxious about, whatever it may be. There are a lot of things.
I'm not laughing at your anxiety.
No, it's true.
I'm laughing at your reticence to dive into.
Yeah.
Like, you're like, we don't need to go there.
It's a lot. I mean, I've been like, as like an example, totally not writing related, but I am starting a new job soon and I've been having the new job nightmares. And I'm like, is this the worst decision of my life? So then I start thinking, well, maybe I should start prepping for that new job. So then I go on Google and I start prepping for that new job. And then I think, okay, I haven't really done anything on my Instagram for a writer for a while. Like maybe I should post something to interact. And then, oh no, did I actually do the promo for, and then this is where the brain goes and it just keeps going and going. Endless.
The author promo, that part that really hits home for me, and the anxiety about the job too. Of course, there's always guilt about something. But the author promo in particular hits home for me because when I wrote Revel, I guess I was writing it and I was doing the normal thing. I was on social media, blah, blah, blah. And then the pandemic hit like March 2020 and my kids came home from school and they needed a lot. Of course, they were like 3 and 5.
Right.
And I realized I'm not going to be able to do any writing during the day. And if I try, then I'm going to really resent this situation, resent my family, and just be frustrated. So I can't. I can't even try.
Right.
So then I made the decision to, I'm going to write at night. But the only way I'm going to be able to do that is if I give up everything else. Like I went on like a total social media lockdown for a little bit.
Yeah.
I think my timeline might be wrong. I think I actually did this pre-COVID and then COVID, I was so lonely. I had to come back to social media. I think that's more like it. But anyways, I wrote Revel without being on socials at all. I took a break on everything and I wrote it much quicker than I normally do in like 6 weeks, which I'm realizing as I look, like I really want to finish book two in the next 6 weeks.
Yeah.
But I don't think I can go off socials.
That's going to be such a hard balance because I didn't even think about how that can work for a very specific point of time, but not for anything else.
And again, how much of this is my own expectation, is the industry's expectation, is, I don't know that I'm moving the needle at all by my every other week occasional post that takes me like 6 hours to make and
right.
I don't feel good about it. But it just feels like to step away while Revel Things is happening, because the way that these algorithms, I guess, are generated is by engagement. Like because part of it's like, then I'm not supporting other people. So I can't just come on and expect people to support me. Right.
Exactly.
And if I'm not posting. Yeah. So quite literally, I'm not like emotionally supporting and boosting fellow debuts
exactly.
or friends. We're just interacting with what's going on with people. So then who am I to come back and be like, oh, hey, here's my cover.
Right.
Nice to see you again. Boost me, please. Show
right.
me love.
Right.
And I think that probably happens at all levels, right? Because a lot of what we talked about so far is community and the value of community in, while it makes it harder to not compare, but in getting better, how important community is in being a writer.
Right. It's a very tough balance because I feel what you're talking about because I feel it in a way because I really don't have anything other than like the podcast to promote or talk about my book, which again, nobody knows my book. I'm like not even on submission yet. So it's like, just building that community around me. And then it is a thing of like, okay, to build that community, I have to see other people's stuff. And then I'm not being a good friend. And then it's not going to, and that's where that anxiety spirals again of like, and then this is going to happen. And this is going to happen. And this is going to happen. And then exactly. 6 months from now, I'm going to be screwed. And I'm not going to like, it's a hard, hard balance.
Do you think it's in our head? Like, do you think that that's actually a thing?
I think, I think there is truth to a rolling stone gathers no moss. I feel like if you're on there and you're posting fairly regularly and you're responding to people, I guess like I want to say like a genuine response, like people who like send a little reaction to your story, you don't have to be like, thank you so much for reacting to my story, fellow person or whatever. Like you can just send a little.
Hello, human.
Right. I've gotten.
Thank you for the heart.
Right. Human. Thank you for the heart, human. I appreciate you. This is a genuine response. No, I've learned the power of like double click for the heart. Great. You reacted. And then there are like, for me, I have learned the things that I can react to. Like there are things on there not meant for me that people post. And I'm like, that's not meant for me. I don't know anything about that. So I'm not going to respond to that. But if it's like a bookish thing or something that really clicks with me, I've gone out of my way. Like it's a thing in my head of that's something I can respond to. So I want to respond and I will. But if it's, I'm not going to respond for the sake of responding to be that rolling stone. Does that make sense?
It does make sense. Okay. So you're, I'm kind of just going to zoom out and break down the options we're talking about so far. Yeah, let's give this a shot. So there's social, like a total social media freeze and taking a break. Because yes. I think we're in agreement, even zooming up further. Social media is probably the number one distraction that would contribute to having trouble getting words on paper.
For sure.
And I'll find, I go there more if I am approaching a tough scene. Like, ooh, I could do this tough thing, or I could take a break and click around.
Boop, boop, boop. That's it.
So then in terms of just being like technique driven right now, one technique is to take a break from social media to try to just go cold turkey for a bit and just focus on your words. And that could be your, you know, dangly carrot at the end of a journey of, okay, I finished this draft, I finished this revision, whatever it is.
Right.
But we're also talking about how in being part of a community that can be really hard to do. And while I'd still like to leave the space for that to be an option, even for myself, because again, I think if I disappeared for 6 weeks, it probably would be fine. My publisher certainly wouldn't care. No one ever told me I needed to be on social media.
Right.
But in, you are presenting an option of not engaging with your whole heart necessarily. Your double click heart instead.
Right.
Or at least that's not really, it's filtering. You're saying not everything requires your whole heart.
That it's having that I filter is exactly the word because it, for a while there were things like, I felt like this person is engaging with me a lot, so I should engage with everything they're doing. And then I was like, I don't know how to engage with this because we're not the exact same person. And that's not how my brain thinks, or that's nothing I have an opinion on or whatever.
I don't know how to ride a horse.
Exactly. I have nothing.
Not a horse girl. Yeah.
I'm not a horse girl. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. I wish I was.
I wish. From Long Island. You guys seem like you're having lots of fun.
Rich girls are.
But I don't know it.
Nice horse.
That is a beautiful pony.
I like your mane. I recently learned that ponies and horses are different.
Oh, shit.
Like, ponies aren't baby horses, Anna. They're not baby horses.
Ponies aren't baby horses?
No, they're not.
No.
They're not baby horses. Yes, you didn't know this. Sorry, I'm sick, so when I cough,
it's okay.
When I laugh,
I'm having a mental breakdown.
Ponies are not baby horses. Foals are baby horses.
Yeah.
Ponies are their own breed of animal.
What?
They're separate. Yes.
No.
Thank you. We're not even going to Google this. This is how confident I am. I hope someone calls in to correct
someone correct this and say, no, you can call a pony a baby horse and a baby horse.
Don't cry, Anna. Oh, no. The world is not flat. The sky is still blue. But ponies are not baby horses.
Lies. Okay, I'm gonna
sorry.
No. I wonder how many horse people I have insulted by being like, what a cute pony, and they're like,
I think they just
eye twitching.
I think they must have like a collective agreement not to correct us,
right? It's like telling somebody that Santa Claus doesn't exist.
Exactly. Right. What?
I'm sorry.
For our listeners under 10.
Can you imagine the one child that listens to this? After we've been like, fuck this industry. Right. Like, yeah. Wait.
And this one poor Christian child is like, I'm sorry, what?
I'm sorry, Mom. Santa. I'm just saying that the Santa Claus at the malls aren't real. They work for the real Santa.
Yes, they're just pretend helpers.
This has gone off the tracks.
We were. Okay, so Instagram, social media. Yes. That's where we were. So filtering and not, like, realizing where your effort makes sense.
Yes.
You know, something you could that I've also done is try to do more of a schedule. Like, okay, this week, for example, like, I'm off from day job this week. This is, like, a pure writing week. Kids are at camp. Woohoo, here I go. Right. So I did Instagram today and therefore did not write a single word because I have no balance and I'm working on it.
Right.
And I'm going to try not to go on it until, like, Thursday or Friday. Nice. Or not really, like, engage till Thursday or Friday. So then I get a number of words in and that could be my reward for, like, a productive week.
I like that. I also really appreciate your concept of acknowledging things that are happening in your life and saying, I'm not going to even try to write today because I know it is going to make me resentful because I feel that so fucking deeply. And I have felt that for a long time. And now, and it's only been in the last couple months that I've really embraced that. Like, okay, today's just going to be a really busy day. We're not going to even attempt it. Tomorrow when I have a free day, it's going to be a good writing day and I'm going to hit the ground running. And I think that helps me get words on the page more than fighting.
Do you think it's, yeah, I agree. And I think we set ourselves up for failure when we, you know, have a 90-minute window, dishes up to the ceiling, whatever responsibilities with friends, with life, with day jobs, whatever it is. And we're like, oh, I need to be productive during my lunch break, even though I have not had a sip of water today.
Right.
And then we're really kicking ourselves, like, why did I only get 200 words or whatever
right.
it is?
Right. And I don't even feel good about those 200 words I did because right. they were done in a blur.
Right. Mm-hmm. And I think that's a disservice. And when we actually take the time to say, you know what, these 90 minutes, I'm going to zone out or I'm going to get some of the other stuff on my to-do list done so that
right.
tomorrow and the next time I have time, I'm going to be all in.
Right. And I think that's like, it applies to writing and I think it also applies to social media with developing these boundaries. Is I check me if I'm wrong, but I think people resonate more with genuine writing, genuine involvement. So when you're genuine on Instagram or so Twitter or TikTok or whatever, when you genuinely create something that you feel with your whole heart and soul that this is something that's good, or if you're like, I'm really proud or this is the thing that I wanted to do, people resonate with that more than they would just blasting out a bunch of content.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. That is resonating with me, as I have no idea how to Instagram. Like, that's the honest truth. Like, I get the basics of it, but it does not, I feel like there are people who are good at it and I'm not one of those people. And right. I'm really at peace with that, to be honest.
Right.
Like, if I was super rich, I'd pay someone just to do it for me and right. be one of those people, but it does not. And if I think about the posts that have actually had a little bit of traction were really from the heart and it was just mm-hmm. like a genuine, like, it wasn't me trying to sell one aspect of my story or something like that. It was just something genuine.
Absolutely. I've seen that. I went back through recently to be like, am I on the right track? Am I using this correctly? And I could see the one post that I had made that was like, I'm going to try and do something. Like, I went with a specific goal and I was like, wow, that one really fell freaking flat. But then, you know, the ones that are like, hello, I am covered in oil stains from cooking tonight and whatever. Like, here's my messy, messy life and here's what I feel right now. And those are the ones that people are like, thank you. I feel this. Generating conversation. So
interesting.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I find that that conversation distracts me from words. So that's the other right. balance. It's like sometimes the really rewarding back and forth that happens, I cannot do that during brief writing breaks,
nope.
because then I can't go, it's a different part of my brain, a different yes. need being filled, a different itch being scratched, and then I can't go back to yes. words as fluidly.
Right, right.
It is there, I have done this, I'm guilty of this, I'm sure there's a time and a place for it, or maybe just some people's brains work this way, mm-hmm. but I can't have both open on my screen at once.
No, mm-mm.
If I want to write, Twitter has to be closed.
Twitter is closed, absolutely. I deleted Twitter from my phone the last like Woo-hoo. Week and a half or so. And
Twitter's been a dumpster fire.
It's been
I'm just going to
throw
awful. That out there.
It's been awful.
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 I It actually, like, I don't have any urge to click it. I actually, like, feel dread building when I go to click it.
Yeah, I think the thing that solidified it for me was I scrolled, and after one tweet, I was like, ha, this tweet is funny and something I enjoy. And then the next tweet was something that, like, was traumatic. And I was like, I can't do this. I can't do this. This is – and then the next tweet was somebody yelling at something and being very angry. And I was like, this isn't it. This isn't it. I can't do this. This isn't good for me. It isn't good for my writing. It isn't good for my goals. So I was like, goodbye. You're gone.
Yeah. And I'm not sure how relevant this will be to, like, people at large. But one thing I've been thinking about, and we've kind of talked about a little bit, is to what extent does writing Twitter, how is it going to evolve or devolve without pitch wars?
Yeah.
Because pitch wars at this point would have been having, announcing things, would have been collecting applications, would have been starting to announce who's mentoring we would have. There was some reason to check in
yes.
and celebrate and get excited with other writers that was in a positive community.
Yes.
And now it's just a lot of doom and gloom. And some of it's really important and valid, and I need to keep apprised of it, but I need to get that from other sources
yeah.
because Twitter's doom and gloom is someone giving me 140 characters, 280 characters, whatever it is, on something that really deserves a couple of pages.
Exactly. There's always been the argument about how Twitter is not the place to have in-depth discussions. John Green, I think, posted recently and was like, I don't know why I keep trying to, like, have in-depth discussions about things on this platform because it just mm-hmm. can't happen. And a lot of Twitter is personal opinion rather than facts. And you're getting that endless scroll of people's opinions packed into these bite-sized pieces over and over and over and over again.
Yes.
It's not any real work.
No, so I guess it makes sense for both of us, because this is, might be unique to us. I'm not sure. I'd be curious what other people say. But to avoid Twitter for a while and for that not to be part of our writing yeah. routine so much. You know, I used to post word count updates, et cetera. I used to do a thread.
Right.
If I was, like, trying to hit a writing goal, and it just... I have no urge to do that. It just feels like a little bit like a bad idea. Like, it does not spark joy and it's time consuming.
I agree. I think, and also going back to your pitch wars argument, I feel like there is a gap of joy, because there was, with announcements of announcing mentors, there would be cheering of those people or excitement for those people. And you would find these pops of joy in these people that I've very carefully followed. And now that's not there, so all this other stuff is taking place. Not to mention the way Twitter has retooled itself to be like, here's a thing that your follower liked, and now you get to see it, and whatever. So I agree, and it is probably the number one thing that would stop me from writing. So it's gone now.
Well, that's good. So no excuses, right? That's just easy, right?
Well, and that's the other thing I wanted to talk to you is, like, even if social media isn't it for people, like, some people mm-hmm. are like, I'm not even on social media or whatever. I doubt that if you're listening to this podcast. or maybe you are.
We love you. Thank you for finding us.
Thanks. We're glad you're here. There are times where I sit down to write and I'm fine. I'm in my element. I have gone out and touched some grass. I am here ready to go. And the words still aren't happening. And it's really not a mental emotional thing. It is purely a story driven thing or a character driven
yes.
thing. And I have some tools on that too. So I don't know if we want to go that avenue.
Let's, like, do it. I want to hear that. I want to hear your tools.
Yeah.
Because that's going to be me tomorrow.
Yeah. So it happens to me a lot of the time, and it happened with pitch wars too. And it was kind of the thing that my mentor helped guide me through, which is the, like, go back to the basics. So if something's not happening and I would keep hitting that wall, right, it was probably because something in my thinking beforehand or in the chapter beforehand that wasn't working. And take a step back. So it's not writer's block. Something else is happening here. So maybe my character isn't strong enough, or maybe I haven't explored exactly how they're going to react to something. Like, you know, I don't know that my character is hot-headed, but I know I need them to react this way. That, because I don't know that they're hot-headed yet, makes the writing not happen. So if I go back and I go, okay, why does she react that way? Why do I need her to react that way? How does she react that way? Why does she react that way?
Oh, wow.
Oh, she's a hothead. All right, now let's go back and see if I can filter in her being a hothead and then go from there. Yeah, so it's like usually something in the background isn't working. So I go back and I journal like a loon. Like, I'm just like journaling either on a Word document or inside a notebook, whatever works.
Okay, so this is what you're saying is sometimes you'll sit down to write and it won't come. The words just won't come. And mm-hmm. so then you troubleshoot and you try to figure out story-wise what is the trouble in the story right now? What's causing this glitch, so to speak, in your code?
And sometimes I'll, like, write that down. Like, I will open up a notepad, the blankest thing. I don't have to worry about formatting or anything. I'll just open up a notepad, and I'll just start typing, this isn't working. Why isn't this working? I don't know why this isn't working. I really want to write this scene, but this is what's stopping me. Oh, this is what's stopping me. Okay, well, how do we – and it just looks like gibberish.
Oh, I love that.
Yeah.
Something similar I've done, but less – intellectual less intelligent really
know.
Because I think that's very self-aware, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think this is in a similar vein. So sometimes when I get stuck, I go back to basics too.
Uh-huh.
And I will, well, the first thing I'll do is almost always, if I'm stuck, I'll reread the last thing I wrote.
Yeah,
like, because sometimes it's, I always think of writing as braiding and weaving threads of a story together. And if we walk away for too long, we let go of some of those threads. And so maybe we had this whole, like, big tapestry we were going to create, but now we're missing. I walked away for a few days or I got distracted. I got really into this, that, the other thing. And now I'm missing some of those very exciting threads. So now I'm telling a basic story rather than this element.
That's really cool.
Yeah, so I will go back and I'll reread my last chapter. I try not to go further than that. I often do.
Right.
I'll reread it. I will use one of the, there's a few apps, I don't know if any of them are free, the one I have isn't, but that will read you, you could choose like 100 different voices to have it read to you any document. I believe phones do this now too with like a good robotic voice.
I downloaded one recently that is free. It's called Speech Central.
Okay.
And it allows you to pick different voices, and I uploaded my whole manuscript into it.
Ooh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think this one is, I got it from a friend. I think it's like Dream Reader or Dream something like that.
I bet yours sounds less like a robot.
It's like, it's a robot with a British accent, but that's just because I chose the British robot.
Fancy robot.
Yeah, like it gives you choices in gender and yes, and then it gives you choices in accents. It's very fun that way. But that sometimes if I'm really stuck, I'll have to listen to it. And I find then, like if I'm going for a walk, like you said, and I'm listening, then I pick up some of those threads or even discover new ones. Like, oh, it would be cool if this overlapped with this, etc. But first step for me is often going back.
I'm really thinking about this idea of this braiding and weaving things in, because I have absolutely gotten to a point where I'm writing and I'll be writing and I'm like, yeah, this is it. And then suddenly it's like, this isn't it. What's happening? And it's usually because it's flat and it's boring and I'm just telling myself the story. And this is usually after revisions, like not during revisions, not like during writing, or maybe even during writing. I'm like, this isn't fun anymore. And it's usually mm-hmm. because I have dropped some important emotional thread or plot thread that I was like really excited about. And now it's just like mm-hmm. floating off somewhere. Wow.
Yep. Or even like a setting thread. Sometimes I notice I'll get really so into story that I put it in this cool setting and now I just haven't described it or thought about it or touched it. And like if I just evoke mood and feeling through setting, like all of a sudden I'm like, oh, the whole thing is vibrating again. The whole thing. This whole braid I'm weaving is coming back.
Which is so fascinating because there is a scene I felt that recently. I've never felt that before, I've never heard that from people before. But there is a scene in my book that a couple people have been like, this was such a cool scene. The setting was really cool. And I was like, oh shit, cool. That's
What's
really powerful.
Setting?
So it takes place in this Senate building, but it's magical. So like art is magic. So inside the architecture, they have made it magical to the point that it can rotate without like gears or anything. So it's constantly, the ceiling is constantly rotating, and it rotates to the point that there's like spotlights on each of the chefs that are competing. And the stage they step onto is a rotating stage as well. So they're rotating between like different tasks that they're cooking. So one chef will start a tart, and then another chef will start a soup, and then another chef, they all start these different things, and then it'll rotate them to a different station. So they have to pick up really quickly. And
oh, I love that. Yeah.
And it was like my quick fix of like, how do I show off these different skills? How do I show off this leadership for this character? How do I show off the asshole senators who are in charge? Like all of these different things. And it originally just took place where they were just standing there at stations. And then my mentor was like, can we make this a little more magical, considering your whole world is magic? And I was like, shit, I guess so.
Oh, I love that. That's such a good way to, and then that's one of those things where you incorporated so many things just by editing your setting. You showed off magic, which then eats some words. You don't have to be like, this magic exists and this exists. You show, don't tell about it, right? Bingo. Like that does a number of things. Bingo. Yeah. I believe that there are writers out there, I'm not one of them, but there are writers out there whose outlines are so thorough and thought out. Like they take months to outline and then they like really just boom, draft in a month.
Right.
Because they know all of their threads and they track all of their threads in like excruciating detail throughout.
Right.
I am not, I actually make outlines like that and then I end up ignoring them because I find as I'm drafting, I drop threads. And then I realize I'm dropping threads or find a new one, right? Like I'll find a new thread. Like, oh, this character is actually, it would be really cool if this character was doing this and had more of a role in this story.
Right.
Or if there is tension here or this personality there. And I either go back and start over and add that thread, which is incredibly time consuming and no guarantee that the whole scene doesn't change when I finish, right. You know, depending on the plot, like the external plot. Or I continue on and add that thread in just as I go. So the braid's kind of getting thicker. You're pointing that what you do, yep. Or
yeah.
I think that is a good thing for not getting stuck. I'm really trying to do this.
Yes, going back
and to leave enough notes. Yeah, so sometimes the end of my book will have this character that the beginning doesn't even exist or mm-hmm. has changed, or now they're related, or now they're not related, and I can't send it to anyone yet. NCPs are always like, "Oh, I don't care to send them." Like, no, it literally won't make sense because I just add as I go.
Yeah, exactly.
To not get stuck.
Uh-huh. Because it's always about, again, it almost goes back to the beginning of the Rolling Stone Gathers No Moss, right? Like, so if you keep that thing rolling, even if you're like, I'll come back later and fix this, I'll come back later and braid it in, I'll come back in later and weed it out. That's much better than, for me, that's much better than stopping, going back, adding it in. Because if I do that with the way my brain works, which sounds similar to yours in that, you know, I find this thing more exciting, I would always be going back and I would never move forward.
Yes. Oh my gosh, I can't even tell you how many times I've rewritten a chapter over and over and over to try to get it right, especially a first chapter. And like Shonda Rhimes, for example, like she talks about, and she writes screenplays, so different, or whatever the screenplay equivalent for TV. What is that called?
Right.
Whatever that's called. Script? Script?
Tele?
She writes scripts?
Scripts. They're all scripts.
Medicine. Okay. She writes scripts. She says that she goes back and she won't continue until it's perfect, but then when she's done, it's like close to perfect and she works very quickly. She's very, very verbose. And so I was like, first I saw that as like validating what my brain was telling me to do. And so then I really tried this summer to do that. And I spent like a good month on one chapter and I'm like, I never got it right. I won't know what happens until I see the rest of the story. Like it's a chapter that has substantial consequences later. And I know what those consequences look like, but I don't know what this chapter looks like. So I have to work backwards.
Yeah.
But I got stuck in, it works for her. It didn't work for me.
Mm-mm.
James Patterson, I've clearly been going through all the master classes, if anybody has a master class subscription, because here's another one. So James Patterson publishes like an insane number of books a year. I don't even know how many books it is. It's a double-digit number year. And he talks a lot about getting words on paper and how he does that. Now, he's controversial for a number of reasons. Right. I don't think he is the most eloquent, or I think he's very old-fashioned and uninformed on a number of things in publishing.
Right.
So I'm careful to quote him in any way, but I was very curious because he pumps out like a couple dozen books a year.
That's how I feel on the fantasy front of Brandon Sanderson. Brandon Sanderson is the same in the fantasy realm. He is controversial and there's a lot you can say about the guy.
There's a lot you can say.
But he pumps out fiction.
But he pumps out fiction and perhaps there's something that we can glean from that. Perhaps we don't have to throw out the whole thing. We don't have to agree with everything he says. So James Patterson talks about how when he drafts, he fast drafts and he never lets himself go backward. I don't even know if he rereads like previous things until he just keeps going. But if he does not know what to write, he lets himself add it in later. He puts in parentheses, add fight scene later. And then he moves on to the next one. Insert fight scene. Insert kiss.
Yes.
Whatever it is. And then he moves on and he does not okay. go back until he gets all the way through. And I'm trying that now.
right.
Which it almost felt like writing out of order for me, and I can't write out of order, but it's like placeholder and still going in order. Mm-hmm. But that is one not yet tried and tested technique for me that I am putting out there. Mm-hmm. To just leave a little note for yourself and then move on, and it'll be a zero draft and you'll fill it in later.
Yeah. I learned the power of TK. The letters TK.
I write DK because I couldn't remember what the T stands for.
I don't know if it stands for anything. What I've heard is that it's used, it may stand for something, but I've heard that when you control F through a document, if you type in TK, there is no or very few words in English that have T and K next to each other.
Oh, so you won't.
So you'll literally find just it. But I tried that method, and I do that method often when I'm drafting, but I have to be very careful with myself, because if I do it for like insert bubbly banter scene, romance scene here, I've skipped the stuff that I need to go on.
Yes.
So I have to be very careful with like, okay, I just can't come up with a witty phrase about this thing right now. TK,
right. Move on.
Witty phrase about romance. Move on.
I use it for descriptions a lot, and I use DK for yes. don't know, just because I didn't know what the T love stood
it.
For. I got really stuck on that. But I use that for descriptions a lot, like describe ballroom here.
Yeah.
DK, ballroom. What does it look like? What does it smell like? Whatever it is.
Love that. Because it's so true, because that's stuff that, again, when you come back, you may have a totally different frame of mind than when you wrote it. So it's nothing wasted.
Mm. Another thing I do. Okay. So far we have taking rest from social media, not having that screen up at the same time, recognizing whether or not this is the right time to write. And uh-huh. if like, what pressure are you under? You know, if you have 102 fever and a long to-do list and nothing to eat tonight, I mean, maybe this isn't the right time to write, and that's okay. Right. That's life. Another technique that I'll use, just like a really more of a nitty gritty one, but if I'm stuck and if I'm troubleshooting, as what you've described, so figuring out like using the difficulty getting the words down as diagnostic of something within your story,
uh-huh.
Which is what you recommend, and I love it. Sometimes I do a scene card, story genius scene card for the chapter I'm at.
Yeah.
I try to create those in advance. I don't like need to anymore. It's just so in my head, uh-huh. but sometimes I'll try to break it out. Like, what is the emotional thread of this scene? Where does it start? Where does it end?
Yeah.
What's the external plot here? Where does it start? Where does it end? And still trying to figure out, why am I stuck? What's getting in the way?
I love that very much, because that is something, like you said, the more I've gotten around to it, the more it's like, I do outline a good bit, to the point that whenever I'm sitting down to draft something new, I have it in my head of what's going to happen in there and like what my cookie is. I talk about like having a cookie that is like the exciting thing to write inside that story, inside that chapter.
I love your cookies.
Gotta have that cookie. I gotta have something. If it's not exciting for me, it's not exciting for someone else to read. But sometimes I forget the logistics, right? And I get lost with the logistics of the story. Like, okay, this is why the scene is falling flat, because I'm not bringing back in this character who disappeared 5 chapters ago, but now they need to come back in and be injured and something's going on or whatever. So the scene card is really helpful.
Yeah, I think it's more just being conscientious that writer's block can be evidence of something that's going on, whether it's going on internally for you or whether it's going on in your story, but that writer's block isn't necessarily, it can just be, oh shit, this is hard and I'm procrastinating it.
Yes.
It can also be fear of failure in a way we've talked about. Like, if I don't write it down, then it can't suck.
Right.
It's just not there. So I'll never know how I do.
Right.
And sort of those demons to battle too. But sometimes it can really and truly be like, okay, story. There's something wrong with my story. Uh-huh. I forgot something in my story. I need to go check out story.
Right. Right. That
sometimes, yeah. Mm-hmm. Sometimes for me, so I do a lot of my writing at night. How about you? When do you write?
It's going to change soon. For the last little bit, it has been Mondays and Tuesdays are my totally open free days, so I usually make those like hallowed days, or at least the mornings, the hallowed part of the day. Typically, and probably where I'll be in a month, is the evenings. I'll be doing it in the afternoons and evenings.
I like the hallowed days. I can tell you kind of light up as you talk about days that are reserved for writing, we stole some time to podcast.
No, it's so great. I love it, because this is writing related, and I love it.
It is. So writing at night, I write during the day when I can, but writing at night is kind of my thing because I'm a night owl. It's when my brain's awake, but it can be really hard because you can be tired because you can finally have time to yourself, and it can be like digging into those words or letting go of the day and
Help me with this because I'm afraid. This is what my nightmares are about. Yeah. My nightmares are about being exhausted again because I'm going back into the classroom and I am having legit nightmares about this and not having enough of me left over. So help me, teach me.
So first, let's prepare you. You're going to be exhausted, especially like it's going to take your body probably a good 2 weeks to adjust.
Yes.
Right? Like anytime I've ever started a new job, I always am like, I'm like, how am I going to sustain myself with this level of energy? And your body adapts. But it's an emotionally draining and physically draining thing that you do teaching.
Yeah.
So maybe don't try to write those first 2 weeks.
Okay.
I know. Do you know what I mean? But it is something to think about. Like, or at least be kind to yourself if it's not coming. That's part of it. And then it's really like, it's a mixture. I'm not so healthy at this. I want to own this. Like, I get on a roll when I am like wrestling with the angel, as we've talked about, and like my creativity is really there. I will stay up very late, which then creates a cycle where the next day I'm not functioning well. It might be related to why I've had a cold for 3 fucking weeks now in the summer, other than the fact that I need antibiotics. But, you know, so there's that. There's like sometimes I'll just go super, super late. And I know that's not good. I kind of want to own that before I give the Pollyanna advice that I wish I followed.
Exactly, yeah.
One thing I am good at is I'm strict with my start time. I'm like really, okay, by 8:30 is for me because I put my kids down by 8. Mm-hmm. And then I like, there's delays and there's mommy, what about this? And what if this happens tomorrow and blah, blah, blah. And then it gives me time to like talk to my husband a little bit, make myself tea, get in front of my computer, talk to writing friends for a little bit and see if anyone wants to sprint. But by 8:30, like I want the words to be coming out.
Yes.
And then I try to cut off around 10:30, 11, which isn't a ton of time, but like that can be, if I'm not on social media, if I'm focused in what I'm doing, like that can be enough for the next day. If I can write during the day, I can pick it up. But, again, Revel was all the way at night. And so I just every single night just made sure like those were my sacred times, and hopefully yours could be earlier than 8:30 because you're going to be tired.
Yeah.
That
helps.
Part of it for me is also like, I need some really concrete techniques sometimes. So part of it for me is that I don't like to waste a night. I take it seriously. I don't schedule things on writing nights. If someone wants to Zoom or catch up or like I do it on nights I know I'm not going to write, like on days or I do therapy, I don't write at night. Yeah. It's just too much. But I really like Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, probably Friday.
Yeah.
Definitely Sunday are my like writing nights. And I keep those. I don't book things at those times. Social things, I really have to decide like, can I do this at this point? Like with this deadline.
Right. Right.
And then when I sit down, a few things I've learned. One is I love sprinting. I used to not get it, but I love sprinting with someone. Do you ever sprint?
I do, yes. I have a couple of people that I can always like go to and be like, yo, you working right now?
Hey. Anna's on a street corner right now. She's using her street corner voice.
Hey. Oh. Hey. You wanna check out the sprint?
you wanna sprint?
You wanna sprint? It's great. It's great fun. We'll work really hard for like 25 minutes and then take a break.
So for if anybody doesn't know, sprinting is usually some kind of like communal activity where you agree on a time. My writing group, we do it like time zone free. So we'll say like, okay, from now to 55. And so whether it's 3:55 or 2:55 or 12:55, like whatever it is.
Yeah.
And it's just then you unplug, like you don't do anything else because you're going to check in with somebody and see like how many words you got usually, but it could also be like how many pages you revised, et cetera.
Right.
And at first I thought like, no, I'd rather just work for hours and not have any interruption. Why would I want to sprint? But I find that like peer pressure a little bit and the community aspect of it when writing can be very lonely.
Yes.
Really, really helps me.
Yes. Which I think sorry, I cut you off.
No, please go. No,
I think it that also goes back to like some of the social media community stuff. Like that is building community and that can like appease your brain, right? Is like you are building that community.
Exactly. And this is a community I built on Twitter years ago that now we have a Slack, and now I can just like reap the fruits of that labor. But we have a separate Slack channel just for sprinting. And so we do that. There's almost always someone who's around who's willing and able to sprint. We keep every month, we change the name of the channel to like theme it by the month. I don't remember what July is, to be honest. July on fire, I think, right now. Like, just something encouraging. We did February once with, like, weary, like, and that was really bad. It wasn't motivating, and none of us did well, so we try to be positive about it.
Right.
August rush, because we're rushing to get, all of us have deadlines coming. Like, people have deadlines September, October.
Love it.
So it's just, like, a very, alive thing. And we will, this is a me thing. This is what happens when you put a psychologist in a writing group. I reward people with GIFs and vice versa. I don't know if you call them GIFs. I'm on team GIF, so there's that.
We're different. It's okay. I accept this.
Is it, though? Is it really okay?
Is it not okay?
Oh, no, it's not okay. Oh, that is
choosy
disgusting.
Moms choose GIF, okay?
With a J.
Choosy, exactly. It's a GIF.
I can't phonetically defend it at all, but I know that I'm right. So both of these things exist.
Wow. I don't think you can therapy style yes and this. I don't think it can happen. It's a GIF.
So I reward with GIFs.
GIFs.
G-I-F-S.
G.
With emphasis on the F S. There.
It's okay. I'm just
a little difficult. So maybe we can do
I'm just playing elevator music in my head while you talk. It's fine.
So I do those little animated thingies. So let's say you set a word count goal, and I'm just like very goal driven. So I'll say, okay, we're going to sprint for the next 40 minutes. I would love to get 500 words, or I would love to finish this scene, or I'd love to revise this page. And I'll ask people, like, what are your goals? And they do this with me because they humor me. And I think deep down they really do love this, even though they'll never admit it. Fine. My goal is this. And then if we reach our goals, and honestly, if we just do a good job and don't reach our goals, then I reward people with little animated things that I type over using one of, like, the Slack add-ons. So it'll be, like, if you're a huge Harry Styles fan, then I could give you a Harry Styles GIF that says, like, great job, Anna, or, like, keep writing, Anna. Sometimes I do pictures of dogs. Very recently, I had Nessie, my pup, read their fortunes, which I just made up on the spot by video recording.
Gosh.
Her answers. Bark if you think this book's going to sell. Like, sorry. but positive reinforcement, that's the science
that's
to
so
changing
good.
Behavior. If it feels good, we're more likely to do it again. If it feels bad, we're less likely to do it again. So if in order to hit a word count goal, someone has to unplug and just get those words down, and then they know that they're going to get a reward, a prize, positive reinforcement.
I love that so much.
It really works. I've done it. Lauren Blackwood is very, very stuck, and she texted me like, oh, I'm so stuck. I'm like, okay, let's sprint. You get to this, I'm going to give you a GIF. Tell me, like, who you think is hot. Just
right.
tell me. She's tell like, me. Huh? What are you talking about? I'm like, You'll see.
You'll see.
And
this will make
I don't mean
soon.
To take credit for her book, too. No, just kidding. We did this, like, one time. That one scene, totally me.
That was me, right there. This one sent her this GIF. I love that so much because it's like everything that I love, which is community building and supporting other people and then being supported and it making it more about the people than it is about the work. But
exactly.
It is about the work.
It's more about the people. Yeah. But then we together are working towards something and it feels good.
That's so exciting.
That really, really works. And on the rare occasion that no one can sprint with me and I'm feeling like I need a boost, or if I'm too distracted, or other people sometimes in the channel are too distracted, I'm like, this isn't good for me right now.
Right.
Then I set a timer. I do an iPhone timer, and I'll set sometimes it's even just 15 minutes. So for 15 minutes, I'm not going on Slack. I'm not going on socials. I'm not walking away. I'm not getting a drink. I'm not going to the bathroom. Like for 15 minutes, I'm just writing. And if I get the urge to do something else, when I pick up my phone, it's going to have that timer on there.
Yep. I have the Forest app, which
I
use.
Oh, I love that.
And that's been my go-to whenever I'm really just stuck and it's not happening. And it's because I am distracted. That's my usually kick in the ass. Like, okay, you're distracted. If you're so distracted, you're going to kill this tree. Do you want to kill this tree, Anna? Don't kill this tree.
Are you a tree murderer?
I am not a tree murderer. I refuse to murder trees. I will stare at that document for forever, but I will not murder this tree.
Yes. No, I love that. I love that's a big therapy thing for procrastination too. We recommend that often. I actually don't have it. I'm going to download it. I think that'd be good.
It's really good. I like it.
Yeah. I really like trees. I'm a friend of the arbors.
Me too. I do not want to see them died. Deaded. Don't want to see that. Deaded. I was going to use the word desiccated, which is my favorite word for describing dried, dead things.
I heard you say defecated.
What happens? Gotta be careful with that word, I guess.
What is this app I've been recommending?
What is this where you make defecating trees? I don't understand. That sounds messy. What does that even look like?
The tree's defecating. That'd be a problem.
A very big problem.
Yeah. Okay. So not that app. That's a different app.
App. Forest.
Copywriting.
It's great.
Patented.
No, Lissa's got that app. She's defecating trees. We'll look for it next fall.
Oh, yes. But the forest app, again, that's, I'm not sure if that's, I have to think if that's nerdily, if that's positive or negative reinforcement. I guess it's, so for you, it would be the addition, it's positive reinforcement, right? Or I guess because you kill the tree. That's still positive reinforcement because negative, that's the addition of something that increases the likelihood of your behavior.
Yes.
I could be wrong.
Because I like seeing, and I also, when it's done, I like seeing how many little trees I have because I do very short sprints. So it's like, you get this little tree and this one, and then I get to see how many trees I have. So I'm like, look at my little forest, and none of them are dead.
They're all alive.
They're all alive.
Okay, I'm downloading that tonight to set myself up for tomorrow.
Yay.
I also recently I started doing like word count trackers.
Oh, yeah.
Whether that be like a digital one, like making an Excel spreadsheet or using like a Camp Nano thing, or even just I'll use like a bullet journal spread and just track my words and track my goal to hit like a certain deadline, et cetera. And I love the accountability of having to write down my and to measure my success for the day.
I like that. That's something I picked up from you because you were posting it on Instagram.
Yes.
And I was like, this is something I'm going to start when I draft again because it's weird for me to do it when I revise.
Yes.
But drafting.
There's probably a way, but it's not as natural as drafting. Yeah.
I like it with drafting a lot.
So yeah, I didn't reach that goal. That was my June spread, like the pre-kids being done with school. I didn't reach that goal, but it was still really helpful to see like how close I was at times. And,
right.
Yeah, I liked that a lot. I'm going to do that again.
Okay. I'm going to pick that up to you. I'm going to steal that from you.
Good.
That's mine now.
So we've gone through some good, some of the nitty-gritty technical. Yeah. We write.
We did it. We can do this.
Yeah.
I'm definitely not just recording this to avoid revisions.
Literally. Same except drafting.
Literally not.
As we're thinking, I'm like, oh, it's a Monday and Anna said Monday's her sacred writing day and we're recording. And I called her earlier about recording.
I finished my chapter. It's great.
Did you?
Yeah, I did. It's
How are revisions coming?
Yeah. So the first couple chapters started out and I was like, hell yeah, feeling great. And that was like chapter 1 and 2. And then I hit like chapter 4. And now I'm like in the weeds enough that it's like, am I making this better or worse? I can't tell.
No.
I don't know. Because, and this is something I've never been at this point before. All the changes are, except for one, and it's a pretty big change, but all of the changes are just going deeper with everything. So I'm freaking out a little bit because it's like, I just texted our friend Tori about it. I was like, I'm not burning the house down and that feels weird.
I see.
I'm so,
the house is intact, but you're deepening the colors of the curtains and the floorboards
and that
restaining.
That's freaking me out because I'm so used to being like, all right, demolish it all, try again, that I'm like, is this enough? Am I doing it right?
I can confidently say from what you're describing that there is almost no way that you're fucking this up if you're just deepening everything, right?
Okay.
There's no one's ever been like, oh, this is too deep.
Right.
This is too vivid and this is too fleshed out for me.
Right.
I prefer a shallower book.
Right.
So I can say with 100% confidence, I'm sure
I guess
you're doing a good job.
I guess I'm just afraid of returning it to my agent and then being like, the plot is still fucked. What did you do to this? Like, you didn't do anything. You just made it pretty.
The first time I handed in revisions to Lauren, agent Lauren, I say that because sometimes we'll speak of our mutual friend Lauren Blackwood, right. So we'll call Lauren Spieler, Agent Lauren, and otherwise Lauren. So the first time I sent something to Agent Lauren, I literally went back to my email and reread the contract I signed to make sure she couldn't, like, ditch me on the spot for being shitty.
Thank you so much.
That's a natural way to feel.
Okay, good.
For sure.
Okay, I'm glad because I'm trying to convince myself that it's natural, but I'm like, no, nobody else feels this way because they're all burning the house down or whatever, and I'm not.
No, and even Tori just sent a big chunk of her manuscript to her agent and had the same experience of like being very afraid for that first time of hitting that send button. And it's very cool to have someone working for you. I mean, in that case, her agent responded, like, the team read it, and the team had this feedback. Yeah. It's wonderful, and we love it. I was like, ooh, amazing.
I felt so much relief for her seeing that.
I did, too, and it's like, I'm sorry, I cut you off.
No, there. I was like, I just hope that is a similar response that I have.
Yeah, no, it's a nice reminder that either way, there's no way, unless you sign with a really shitty agent and they're out there. But I think the vast majority of those who are making sales regularly know how to encourage an author and encourage revisions and encourage craft and know how to give feedback and they know what they signed.
Right.
So it's a very cool experience to realize, you know what? I put in the time. I got to this place. I got the right stroke of luck and brilliance and blah, 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 where I have an agent now. And now I have a professional who's on my side to help me.
Right.
Whatever that looks like. And you're going to get professional notes.
Yes.
Regardless, they're going to be, unless it's again, like a schmagent or like you hear some horror stories, you're going to get professional notes and you have been at this long enough that, and your skin is thick enough because you have found your joy and you're not writing for anybody else.
Right.
But of course you want your agent to love it and think they can sell it.
Yeah.
But it'll be professional notes and that's going to feed your soul and you will grow and your tide will go up and all the ships will, in your harbor will also go up and we'll all be big and famous and rich. Any questions? Mic drop. You notice I don't have the guts to actually drop it. I always just like, and then pick it back up.
Goo.
Yeah, it's just me. I'm sorry, your ears are so screwed.
Revising, editing this is going to be a great time.
I'm sorry.
No, it's like, great.
And we don't want to be sued for ear damage. Every single person with headphones is like, what the fuck was
that? What did you do? Stop.
You got rid of the voice. Now stop dropping your mic. Child.
She gave up one, picked up the other. We made it all. I was going to say that this is the best pep talk I've ever received, and now it is the best pep talk received. No, it took it from here to all the way up here, like 0 to 100. Please just follow me around and drop the mic all the time.
Okay, yeah. You'll like bake something pretty, and I'm going to be like, oh, that looks delicious. Every time, like, the amplitude of my voice recording just, like, explodes, and I'm like, oh, sorry about that.
Ooh. It's great. It's worth it. It's quality audio content. It will make me giggle later, which I love very much.
Along with my wheezing bronchitis cough.
Oh, that won't make me
This poor
giggle.
Podcast has tracked my cold for weeks now. This whole mini-series is how sick is Lissa getting?
Right? We'll just have a counter in the day since Liz has been sick. None.
Zero.
Still none. Still none. It's
negative.
December. None. No, you're going to be better and healthy.
I am. But circling back to you, I do think, and that's the heart of why we're talking about this. Like, that's really the heart of why we're doing this, is that there are the rewards in writing are few and far between, and they're enormous when they happen.
Yeah.
But because happiness isn't like a neurochemical reaction, like if we don't write ourselves, then they're very, very fleeting.
Right.
And you have just had this enormous thing happen. You signed with an agent. You signed with a really good agent.
Yeah.
And now it's been enough time. That was a couple months ago. And so now the regular demons, the joy thieves, can creep back in. Mm-hmm. And it's okay. You're human. It's going to happen. But as you work on this revision, you don't want those voices to be so loud that you can't actually get the words down.
Right.
And so I will write you when that happens. You just call Auntie Lissa.
Thanks. Lissa, I need a GIF and a pick me up and a
mic I don't know drop. What a GIF is, but I can send you a GIF.
I need a moving picture on the internet. Oh, yeah. This is going to destroy our friendship. They're going to be like, what happened to Anna and Lissa?
The great GIF debacle of July 2022. Yeah, they'll be like, wow, their chemistry was never the same after
that. It really was. Like, it was just trash. They were so cynical towards each other.
I know, I look at you and I just see a garbage can.
Wow. I'll send you a GIF of a garbage can later.
Still don't know how to open those, don't know what that is, so I'm not worried at all. I do think I like this episode because I do think a lot of this is very esoteric. It's very cerebral in a way. Like, it's very like the theory to it, and then this is more like, okay, I'm sitting down to write. What the hell do I do?
Right. And I feel like that's a lot of the writing process has broken through when I have figured out myself. When I have figured out what's going on in my brain, which I don't know what's going on in my brain 90% of the time. But when it comes to writing, I've worked at chipping that away. Like, okay, this is happening. Why is this happening? And let's see if we can figure that out.
And that's your notebook blank page of like self-awareness then.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Damn, what a good episode.
Damn, we did it.
We did it. I was dubious because your poor body.
I sent Anna a text message at the time we were supposed to record, like 20 minutes before, like, I'm away for a chest x-ray. The doctor thinks I have pneumonia. I might be a little late. She's like, what the hell are you doing?
You put pneumonia and podcast talk in the same message. Go fix your body.
Do you know what it really came down to? Like, part of me was like, I found out before we started recording that it is not pneumonia, it's bronchitis. That's what the x-ray showed, which I was like, oh, it's just bronchitis. It's fine. But two, I really want to, otherwise we would have recorded tomorrow, and I really want to write tomorrow. Yes. So I'm like, I want to do this today so that tomorrow I can write. And because we haven't missed a Tuesday yet, which I'm not sure when this will come out because this gives you no time to edit.
What is something that brought you joy this week? I think I know what it is.
Definitely there getting my advanced reader copies was very, very cool. Yay. And then, as I mentioned earlier, I went to the Outer Banks with my family. And we stayed in one house, 41 of us, under one roof. And there was no drama. Wow. It was amazing.
Oh, nobody died?
Everyone chipped in. Nobody died. Nobody drowned. It had a pool. It was right on the beach, like in the way off, like in 4x4 beach in Outer Banks. So there's no roads or anything. Like, we couldn't. We like would send out someone out for supplies occasionally, but we were just in bathing suits and sweatshorts because it was hot like the whole time. And so it was like chicken soup for my soul, not for my health, because I drank a lot of wine and played drinking games, which I haven't done since I was 20.
That is fantastic. How'd you feel after that?
I learned quickly that no one noticed if I switched to water. So I would realize, like, oh, I'm going to regret this tomorrow, and I'm, like, right where I want to be in terms of enjoying everyone's company. So yes. I'm just going to put water in this red Solo cup, and no one's going to ask questions because I'm silly as I need to be with my cousins anyway. So
yes.
So I woke up, and everyone's like, how are you awake right now? I'm like, how are you awake? I switched to water. What brought you joy, Anna?
My writing group started a book club. Thanks to you.
What?
You have talked about Lainey Taylor, and it's kind of one of these, like, my universe is collided, right? And I was, like, asking about authors who do a really good job in the first, like, couple chapters of world building, and a bunch of people brought up Lainey Taylor. And I was like, here's my admittance. I probably have my, like, writing revoked. I've never read a Lainey Taylor book, period, ever, end of story. I've heard Strange's Dreamer is amazing. I've heard it's all amazing.
It's all amazing. I'm actually not surprised. She doesn't have that many.
Right.
She takes her time, so it's not shocking.
And I can tell that. We started reading Daughter of Smoke and Bone. And
oh, my God.
I know. We're reading that together. So one of Emily Minor in that group was like, she put on her teacher pants and was like, here's our syllabus. Here's where we're going to talk about things. And we broke it up and it was awesome. Like, we even had our first little like drop-in chat on Sunday where we're talking about craft and breaking it apart. And it's been great.
Oh, I love this. I love this. I'm so jealous that I wasn't here to pull apart Lainey Taylor.
It's so good.
And the writing in the best way. It's so good. And Daughter of Smoke and Bone, I was surprised. I didn't love the first chapter. I was like, everyone talks about her as like this fantasy god.
We're all and saying it's a very, this.
Yeah. I didn't love the first chapter, but that it makes sense for the story. It's a bear with it story because the main character, it's first person, right?
Yes.
Is it first person or third person? Yeah. So you're really in her head and she does not understand her fantasy world yet. She is in a fantasy world that she does not. She is at the top layer of the onion.
Right.
And then she gets catapulted into it as the story continues.
Yes.
And it's just, it. There are so many layers to it. But at the beginning, I'm like, oh, this feels like a silly girl in, you know, a silly land doing silly things.
We talked about, somebody in our writing group mentioned it, and it's exactly what I felt when I first picked it up a couple of years ago and then just put it down after that first chapter. It feels like she's too much of the YA fantasy it girl. She knows a bunch of languages. She can kick super ass. She has blue hair. She's very pretty. She's
She does art. She's artsy.
Right.
Always like her. Yeah.
Right.
And she's sad.
Yes. And then add she's sad. Like, and honestly, like that loneliness is kind of what brings you through her story because it's not a very character-driven story in the beginning. For, you know, I'm only like not even 100 pages into it and it's very much about the world building. And the plot. And it's very interesting to just kind of look at that and be like, normally I'm a character-driven person. Why is this pulling me along? But it is.
Mm-hmm. And I guess it's in part, it's a portal fantasy, right?
Yes.
So she literally gets dropped into more or less a totally deeper, richer world that I don't want to give anything away because I don't remember 100 pages in. But that very much matters back to that first chapter in ways that we could not have seen coming. So, like, we're stuck in her shallow perspective.
Yes.
Until we're not. Yes. I'm so excited. We're going to have to talk more
about it. Yay! Very, very I can't wait to talk about it.
That's awesome.
I will talk about it forever because it's been very fun to pick it apart. So that's my joy.
Good. That's awesome. I'm really glad.
Yay. Well, we all solved the world's problems once again.
We did. Awesome. Good job.
We did it. Nice.
Great audio. I touched my cup again, I looked out.
Thanks for listening to another episode of Basic Pitches. I hope you enjoyed this latest installment of our segment, Finding the Joy in Writing and All Things Mental Health. Thank you to those of you who put in some questions on Instagram. We answered one in this one, so we'll get to some more in later installments, and I will see you next time.